Today we continue our journey to Jerusalem. Today, again, in the Gospel of Luke. If I hadn't said this, we're kind of following Luke's journey motif this Lenten season. Today from Luke chapter 13, the first 9 verses. As we prepare to hear words of Scripture, let us ask for God's help. Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Luke remembers this story. At that very time, there were some present who told Jesus about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mingled with their sacrifices. And Jesus asked them, "Do you think that because these Galileans suffered in this way, they were worse sinners than all other Galileans? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish as they did." Or those 18 who were killed when the tower of Siloam fell on them. Do you think that they were worse offenders than all the others living in Jerusalem? No, I tell you, but unless you repent, you will all perish just as they did. Then he told them this parable. A man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came looking for fruit on it and found none. So he said to the gardener, "See here, for 3 years I have come looking for fruit on this fig tree, and still I find none. Cut it down. Why should it be wasting the soil?" He replied, "Sir, let it alone for one more year, until I dig around it and put manure on it. If it bears fruit next year, well and good. But if not, you can cut it down." For the Word of God among us, for the Word of God within us, for the Word of God in Scripture, thanks be to God. The journey to Jerusalem is a journey of repentance. The season of Lent, the purple colors that we enjoy during this season are penitential colors. They're colors that remind us that this is a journey getting us ready for something. A time of introspection, a time of self-examination, a time of preparing. We are on our way to Jerusalem, on our way to the cross of Christ, and most importantly, on our way to the empty tomb. But before we can celebrate resurrection, before we can sing the Alleluias, before we can proclaim the Lord is risen, He is risen indeed, there is work to be done. The work of repentance. Repentance is recognizing that I am not where I'm supposed to be. Things in my life are not as God wants them to be. I wonder about you. If you were to take inventory of your life, is your life where God wants it to be? the words you use, the behaviors that you enjoy, the habits. Is that where God wants you to be? Oftentimes in church, when we confess our sins to God, where we admit the places where our lives don't meet up with what God wants us to do, we have a rhythm. It's real comfortable to talk about the things we have done wrong. The things we have said or done that have hurt others and jeopardized our relationship with God. So we make that list. Be honest with you, that's an easy list for me to write down. But the list that comes harder for Chris Denny, for your preacher, is that other list. Those opportunities when I had the chance to say a gracious word. Those opportunities when I had the option to act Christ-like. And I just didn't act. Those good things that I could have done that just went undone. Those good words that could have been said that went in silence. We call this in church language sins of omission. The things we omitted. The good things that God calls us to that we left out. What about that list? For you, for me. What are those good things, righteous things, grace-filled things that you could have done, you could have said, but just didn't? Repentance is recognizing that I am not where I'm supposed to be and that I turn around, that I make a change and move towards what God wants for me. Indeed, I was in a lecture one time in a seminary and I heard a Jewish rabbi say that the truest test of repentance is when you face the same situation and act differently. So instead of getting mad and yelling and saying all those four-letter words that I know, I may still get mad, but I may choose different language. Instead of getting mad and slamming the door and breaking relationships, I may still get mad, but seek to speak and work out my differences. Instead of holding on to that grudge that has become so comfortable, I may have to reach out and say a gracious, kind word. Jesus, in the story for today, says that unless we repent, we will all perish. He tells about two different stories, historical things that happened in Galilee and Jerusalem, and it's almost as if it's a test. Were they somehow worse? Did they somehow deserve it? Jesus says, no. But unless you repent, you will face the same as they did. So how's your list? Are you where God wants you to be? And are you ready to do the hard work of repentance that turns toward what God wants for you and makes movement in that direction? Facing those same situations, but choosing to behave differently. Then Jesus illustrates what he means with a story. A story about a fig tree that has neither produced figs or life. And the gardener, the owner, is ready to cut it down. But one steps in. The gardener steps in and says, "Give it one more year. Until I can dig around it and you put manure on it. Give it one more year." If you had one more year, one more year like this fig tree to turn your life around, what would you do differently? What does that list look like for you? And notice that the fig tree, give it one more year, the gardener says, give it one more year, I'll dig around it, I'll attend to it, I'll give it the attention that it needs, I'll put the fertilizer, the manure around it, and then we'll see if it produces fruit. What about you? If you are like the fig tree in this story and you're given one more year in your life to attend to things, to fertilize your relationship with God and with others, what fruit might you produce this time next year? Today in confirmation class, we were talking about the Ten Commandments. And at the end of our conversation, there was this statement in one of the catechism questions we were using as part of our study. It was a reminder that there is more grace in God than sin in me. There is more grace in God than sin in me. That's the strength that we use on the journey. That's how we do the work of repentance. Acknowledging that I'm not where I'm supposed to be and turning toward what God wants for me and making steps in that direction. How can I do it? Because there's more grace in God than sin in me. Thanks be to God.